I always kind of feel bad for the visitors when I'm up here, because I know they're not going to really hear Nick's good preaching, and so I'm going to be doing more teaching than preaching today.
It's all about God.
You know, we have been meeting in passion groups, and what they are is there's something. Some of the members had a passion for something. They put it out there. Another member says, hey, I would kind of like to learn more about that too. That let me make that my passions. And mine was, my group and the people in it were interested in apologetics. And we started using this book. We read through this book chapter by chapter. Chapter 2 was really bad.
No, it's not.
Well, it was long, and we. I think if we ever go through this book again, there'll be a glossary for that chapter, because all the words. But, you know, when I think of apologetics, I originally thought, you know, this is the good stuff that we can refute all that false teaching out there with really good stuff, real teaching. And you know, you come at it with kind of not humility anyway. Let's just put it that way. And so I learned some things about myself going through this passion group. And so what apologetics is not, it's the art of really getting good at saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It's not what it is.
That's not it. That's not it.
and it's not the art of intellectually forcing unbelievers into submissions with headlocks or with like the WWA or whatever that wrestling group is, you know. It really is not that. I mean, it is an important thing to learn. Apologetics is really giving a reason why you believe what you believe.
Yeah, come on.
And that's pretty simple. And I don't know, as a kid, we did, you know, we would get asked questions, you know, well, why is the sky blue? Well, because that was our answer.
You know? Yeah, but it's not red.
It's not red, that's right. You know, but we were simple-minded and we just believed. And yet, we're adults now. And we're really called to have a reason for it. The English word for apologetics comes from the Greek apologia, which just means give a reason or a defense. It's pretty simple. Someone who gives reasons and a defense for the Word of God is an apologist. And so that's pretty simple. But there are different methods of Christian apologetics, and we didn't go through a lot of them. The first one is like presuppositional apologetics, which basically means you believe that the people you're talking to already believes that there's a God. You pre-assume that's it. And so you go forward with all your arguments or with all your reasoning with that presupposition. But that's not always true. I mean, you're not always going to run into people that already believe in God. I mean, they might have some other things off and you use apologetics, but with presuppositional apologetics, they already believe it. You're assuming that they believe in the existence of God. Classical apologetics is just more of a general thing. And it stresses more rational arguments for believing in God. That the author of this book is considered a general apologist. He uses just more rational arguments than that. And it's necessary, I think it's necessary to somewhat demonstrate that there is a God before you go ahead and try to help somebody believe in God. They got to know it. Evidential apologetics is they emphasize giving evidence for the Christian faith, rather, you know, whether historical or logical or geological or whatever. And you'll find some of that, like this, more of a in the sciences. Okay, we found this, and it proved out to be the same time period and had a had the word pilot on it, you know, so he existed and that type of thing. So which view is correct? I think they're all kind of correct. It's just a different approach. It's like whenever you're talking with somebody and you're having a discussion, sometimes you know if I approach it this way with this person, it'll go farther.
Right.
You know, having that kind of in your heart to say, okay, now if I want to help somebody, you know, understand my point, now, are they a type of person that likes it straightforward, or are they the type of person that likes you to kind of just softly bring it on to them? So knowing your audience is an important part of being apologist too, you know, doing this. In 2 Peter 3:5, the Bible talks about, let's see, I'll just read it here. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of the water by water. You know, what does that have to do with apologists? But, you know, that's kind of the argument that presuppositional apologists use. The Bible talks about people that are just going to purposely forget that there's a God.
Well.
They're just going to, you know, and you might have to help them remember. Okay, remember you used to believe in God. And remember how the earth was formed and all that. So that's kind of an example, a biblical example of presuppositional. That the classical, you'll look in Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. The idea of classical apologetics is that you help show them that all in this earth, how can you not believe that this wasn't created by God? You know, there's a lot of scientific things you can show, and there's a lot of, you know, archaeological things you can show, but there's, you know, there's just different things that's a more of a classical approach. The evidential approach is in a verse that kind of relates to that is in 1 Corinthians 15. And 3:3-7. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was risen on the third day according to Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. You know, this verse talks about evidences that helped people at that time believe that Christ was who he said he was. And that's basically what, you know, the apologetics is giving that reason, and there's different ways. You know, what's best? What's the best way to approach it? I think it's who you're approaching makes the difference.
Yep.
There's a couple of areas of apologetics that, like, philosophical apologetics is about the existence of God, the whole idea, what came first, you know, that idea, there had to be God, you know, you'll get into people saying, well, it was the Big Bang. Okay, who started the Big Bang? Who took that one off? You know, so you start that first chicken or the egg idea, yeah. You know, what is it? And so that's that philosophical thing. There's theological apologetics about what other religions believe. And then you use apologetics to compare and to show, you know, why this is more of a logical sense, or maybe there's some holes in some of the other religions that, or the, you know, might should point out, what we found out is that all the other religions that we kind of went through in the theological apologetics in our book was that none of them really said that they had a God. I mean, that there was God. You know, Christianity is like the only one that says God exists and Jesus was the Son of God. It's the only one. The other ones don't do that. So there was no salvation. And the biblical apologetics is using, basically you're using the Old Testament and historical writings to prove out the New Testament, what happened in the New Testament. Scientific apologetics is using science to prove and support your idea of apologetics. And so I found it interesting. In the book, they had this list of scientists. Kepler, who is kind of the father or founder of modern astronomy. Well, he was a creationist. He believed that God created. And then there is Pascal. He's a founder of hydrostatics. He was a creationist. He believed that God created things. There's a whole bunch of them. There's Newton, Faraday, Babbage, Simpson, Mendel, Pasteur, Kelvin. You know, all of these, I think there's like 12 of them here that, you know, some of the scientists, founder of the science, I don't even know what they are, like Ramsey, isotopic chemistry. I never took that one in school. Maxwell, electrodynamics, Faraday, magnetic theory, Babbage, computers, you know. They're all creationists. They all believe God created these things. Okay, here we got the founders of all these sciences believing in God. And through this study, you know when you, I don't know what the term is, like you buy a RAV4 car. Pretty soon you see a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
You know, you thought, well, I bought something kind of unique, and then you're driving on the road, you see them all over the place.
Right.
In studying the apologetics and scientists, I started seeing articles and running into things a lot more where there's these scientists who try to prove God doesn't exist and ended up proving to themselves that God does exist. they're trying to, you know, basically disprove all these things, and they end up proving it to themselves and becoming more. And I think the reason is that in all these sciences is all about God's creation, and they can't help but see God's creation in their study.
Right.
It's just too hard to, you know. I think about these. What is it, Mendel, the geneticist? I mean. Really? I mean, you start going through that genetic code and the DNA and all that kind of stuff, and you say, oh, this just happened? Yeah, right. I just don't understand how anybody could not. You know, it's just so complicated and so intricate. And, you know, there, it had to have a creator. It just had to. So, those are various areas of apologetics that you can kind of do. there's a kind of a why use apologetics? Well, one reason is Jesus used apologetics. That's why. He gave evidences for his own claims. You know, he used scripture, and he also fulfilled prophecies of Old Testament scriptures within his own life. And that was a type of apologetics. He did miracles, which fulfilled scriptures, which was a type of apologetics. You know, resurrecting, you know, as predicted, that was a pretty good trick. he did healings and that. You know, Paul did a lot of apologetics. You know, in the book of Acts, he went and talked to different, you know, in the synagogues and taught people things using Old Testament to teach about, okay, this is the way it was. You know, this is the Old Testament. He was teaching people who knew the Old Testament, the early writings, and he says, see how this proves it out, that Jesus is who he said he is. You know, right. So he was using apologetics like that. And so he did a whole mission of areas that, you know, in Philippians 1:7, he says the defense and confirmation of the gospel. That was his kind of role. And Philippians 1:16, I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Paul was the guy. He was like the apologetics first. You know, Paul also used scriptures to help make things more, he used scriptures to give reasons for why we do things.
Right.
Not why it is, you know, like ordaining elders. And in Titus 1:9, he says, hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both exhort and sound in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. Yeah. So he said, you need to use apologetics to appoint people that can use apologetics.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, the church, the early church, practiced apologetics. You know, these are just more reasons why we need to learn how to do apologetics as being Christians. The early church, you know, Paul, Galatians and Corinthians, the apostles did things. If you read through John 1, 2, and 3 John, and the early church after the apostles. Now this one I didn't really know, but one of the early apologists was Justin Martyr, and I had to look him up. I had to Wikipedia him to find out what he was. But you know, he was an early one that he was actually arrested and then killed because he was trying to get the church to believe, you know, follow, you know, Old Testament and what we know of as the Old Testament writings and that too. And I didn't really check that. Is that where we get the word martyr? Was he the first martyr? Is that why you call the martyr? I don't know. But there was things like Gnosticism and other different cults and different things that were around at the time. And so the early church had to use apologetics, Old Testament, and the stuff they learned from Jesus and the apostles to help kind of get rid of that type of thinking. Okay, here we're getting into the why. You know, apologetics helps Christians to better know their faith and to share it more effectively. So that's why you want to learn how to use apologetics to answer people's real questions which hinder them from accepting the gospel. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like a pre-evangelism. So you kind of teach them some things first, and that helps them helps them move forward to accepting the gospel because they have some reason for it. And so I think that's an important thing. You wanna learn it because you wanna fight off if there's some sort of doctrinal thing that comes up in a church and it doesn't really fit scriptures. You wanna be able to know your scriptures and be able to say, you know, that doesn't fit. That might be coming from your own feelings or whatever, you know, and that. Okay, answer false claims that are put out. You know, some people will say things. I saw a little blurb on YouTube. It was Jeremiah. Let's see. Can't think of the name of that. Ravi Zacharias. Yeah. And he's a Christian apologist, and he goes around to university after university, and people come up, and there's this just a little blurb, and a student came up, and he says, well, we already know, and it's been proven, that the Bible is not true. I mean, he just threw that out there. And he had no evidence for that or anything like that, but Ravi was real patient with him. He says, well, here's what we do know, and basically used apologetics to show him that what he just said was just a throw out there kind of thing. He had no backing for it whatsoever, but Ravi did have backing for what he had to say. And so that's how it's important, you know, to have answers, false claims that can be made about the faith. And I think we run into it, you know, there's going to be people that will say things, you know, just to defend their point, and it might not be all true. Okay, the how. Here's the how of apologetics. This might be the preaching part. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have.
Yep.
But do this with gentleness and respect.
Yep.
You know, when I first started being interested in apologetics, I think I took the first part of that verse away and didn't read it, and the last part and didn't read it. I think I was always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But I think really honestly, for me, you know, doing this study has helped me see I had the wrong heart.
Okay.
I wanted to be the great debater and have all these great reasons, you know. And why is that? It's a pretty natural thing, and I know I'm not the only one in the room here that has it. I wanted to build myself up.
Okay. Come on.
Yeah.
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 Come on, Larry.
So, I screwed up. But I can change.
Yep.
I can change, you know.
Right.
It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord.
Yep.
That's the first thing. Before you can be an apologist, you have to be a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you in your heart, you've made God your Lord.
There you go.
And when He is your Lord, you love your neighbor as yourself.
Yep. Yeah.
You're not trying to debate him into the cement.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Yep.
And so I think that's an important thing. You know, in 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says, knowledge makes arrogant. Guilty.
Yep.
Guilty.
Yep.
But love edifies.
Yep.
That's the how. That's the how of apologetics. You know, it's in Jude 3, it says, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which is once for all handed down to the saints. You know, this stuff has been given to me already. All the scriptures and knowing who Christ is has been given to me just by the grace of God. I did not deserve this chance. So it's that you just got to remember that. And in Jude 22 it says, have mercy on some who are doubting.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you're doubtless. Well, I got a dozen scriptures and a dozen archaeological finds that will help prove it to you. And la, 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 la. You know, don't beat them over the head with it.
Amen.
Be loving, kind. Have humility in what you're sharing, because you only received it by the grace of God yourself.
That's right. Yep.
So, it's really important to be coupled with mercy and love and humility, that you share God's word, apologetics, even scientific facts that lead towards people knowing that God exists. You know, the Bible commands it. Jesus did it. The early church did it. Paul did it, used apologetics, but they did it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do about it? You know, what's our role? You know, I think it's important. Apologetics is not knowing reasons to believe in God to win a debate.
Right.
It's knowing reasons to believe in God so that you can share and win hearts to God.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
You know, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's why apologetics is important. But you know, the how is probably the most important of all.
Yep.
Let's be disciples.
Amen. Amen. Amen.